This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome to Through the Ringer. I'm your host, Tate Frazier. I am not in studio today with Cousin Sal, but Cousin Sal luckily is on the show. Sal, great to see you, man.
Good to see you. I'll go that far as to say great to see you. What is going on, Tate? Where are you?
I am in Chapel Hill right now. I am back here trying to help the Carolina football program. They got Drake May drafted number 3 to our boss Bill Simmons' team, so that's good news. And I'm checking in on everybody to see how fired up they are. And there's a lot of Drake May excitement, Sal. So you called him the next Mac Jones, so that was high praise. Maybe he'll be a Pro Bowler just like Mac.
Yeah, of course. I jinxed the jinx, so he's going to be just fine. Well, I'm glad there's a lot of hype out there in North Carolina for a guy who they lost now and will never come back to the state. But good job, I am.
Yeah, that's how it works here. But the good news, Sal, is unfortunately, well, I guess this is good news because we get to play my favorite game. But unfortunately, we are not in studio together. I'm in Chapel Hill, like I said. You are back in Los Angeles. But
I'm wearing the Carolina blue for you, buddy.
I know. You look great.
You got the Duke colors, whatever. If you want to make the change, that's your business.
Hey, I got the heel there somewhere. Yeah, right there. You see the logo? Okay. Yeah, there you go. I got something going. But yeah, we're having fun. So now we get to play my favorite game, over-under reactions. And we'll start with one that relates to you, Sal. Apparently, there was some word on the street that Cousin Sal has created a QB controversy in Atlanta. That catch, a lot of people saw that video from Michael Penix, and now he is a top 10 pick and going number 8 to the Falcons. And Kirk Cousins is not happy with you, Cousin Sal.
I know what you're saying. This is, I'm going to say underreaction, because that's how you have to play the game. You have to commit to one or the other. Look, I don't want to keep tooting my own horn, but if Michael Penix doesn't complete that pass to me on Radio Row Super Bowl week, no one knows this guy from Adam Levine. I mean, honestly, and believe me, I don't want you to show the clip. The last thing anybody needs is to see this clip one more time. Okay, show it.
Let's watch it.
That's good. All right.
And great, you know, hands, you, Sal.
Look at me circling under that pass. It doesn't seem like the wind would be a factor in an indoor facility, but let me tell you something. It was that day. And like I said, I caught it. And who knows where this guy goes if not for that catch there. And congratulations to Michael Penix. He was 39 years old when he completed that pass. I don't know if you
know. We'll see what happens if he starts before he hits his 40th birthday. I think that'll be a good sign. But, yeah, that'll be fun. Next one, Sal. The NFL draft should last multiple weeks, over or underreaction. What are your thoughts on that? I know you love the NFL draft.
Underreaction, yeah. I love it. So it's an underreaction. Although I don't know if I could barely get that jingle out of my head after 3 days. You know, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. If it went for weeks and weeks and weeks, I might be stuck. But, listen, the outfits, the hugs, the interviews with the families – the commentators patting themselves on the shoulder because they, in a third iteration of their mock draft, picked a guy who went 5 picks early. It's all great. I love it all. Just keep drafting. They should be drafting right now, Tate, while we speak.
Well, the mock drafters are always drafting, so I'm sure they got mock drafts out there. So kudos to them. Shout out to them. Next one, we're going to go in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard, Sal, should try only playing in the playoffs next season. Over or under reaction, what are your thoughts on Kawhi Leonard sitting out all of next season until the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't – I'm going to say it's an underreaction because I don't even think he should have to play most of the playoffs. He should only play Game 7 of the finals and, like, the last quarter of Game 7. So I think that's the safest – that's how we keep them bubble wrapped. Everything's going good. Look, I don't know what to do with this guy. There's no way to build chemistry if he's not in the lineup a little bit during the regular season, and now he's out. I couldn't believe it. He only missed 14 games this year. 25, 30, and 30 the three previous years. So I'm not sure. What do you make of Kawhi? I'm not sure what to do with him, honestly.
I'm worried about the knee. I think everybody's been worried about the knee. Before we started, our producer, Jack, asked, you know, when's the last time you didn't worry about Kawhi?
And Jackass? What'd you say?
Yeah.
Oh, Jackass.
Yeah,
not
Johnny Knoxville, but Jack, our producer, asked. He said, when was the last time you weren't worried about Kawhi? And I said, 2014, so about 10 years ago. Right. I've been worried about Kawhi for a long time now, and I hope he figures it out. But it looks like the Clippers are better without him. Maybe a little bit of Ewing theory going on there with Kawhi Leonard, but we need him healthy, Sal. So
I think every NBA team goes through a Ewing theory, honestly. Some last like a year, but at least there's some always, oh, Kyrie, Celtics are better without Kyrie. You could just interchange five players and say, no,
Bradley Beal, you know, he's the one now. They're saying if Bradley Beal's not out there, maybe the Suns are better. Yeah, we'll talk about that another time. Let's talk about the big three, because here's one for you, Sal. The NBA's quote-unquote big three era is officially dead with the Suns out of the playoffs. What say you, over or under reaction?
The big three, what is that? That Ice Cube League that Caitlin Clark laughed
that's
at?
True.
You're saying that's dead?
No, it's not that. It's actually thriving, Sal.
Oh,
it's
okay. Oh, the big three. You mean getting three players together and say we're going to create a super team.
All right. Yeah.
Much like you mentioned that aforementioned Bradley Beal, who can't help hit a shot. Look, I think it was dead for years. I really do. You know, the Lakers couldn't knock out the Pistons as big favorites. It didn't work when the Nets made their super team. You know, the
Both
only time
times.
It really worked was Miami, and I think it's because you had one of the top two players of all time at a very high level in LeBron James, and obviously Dwayne Wade didn't hurt. So I don't think the super team worked. I don't think we've seen the end of it, so I'm going to say an overreaction, because everyone is just one group text message away from creating a super team on their own. So I can't say that it's over.
Yeah, and I will say the Nuggets do have a big three with their guys. You know, Nikola Jokic with Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon. It's just not as flashy as some of those other big threes we talked about. So eventually you're going to need three really good players if you want to win something in the NBA. Yeah. Next one's out. Joel Embiid is currently the biggest underachiever in sports. Overreaction or underreaction? What say you?
I think it's the exact appropriate reaction, because when you mean underachiever, you mean he achieves more under bets than any. If you bet him under 5.5 points, in the fourth quarter,
that's exactly what I meant.
You're gonna win every single time, so for sure. And I, at least besides my nonsensical preamble there, without question he is the biggest underachiever, because he was 1 year removed from winning the MVP. Can't get it done. The process is that your buddy Lombardi is through the roof. Oh my god, I've never seen him this angry about a team, this 76ers team. But he chokes in big moments, and that cheap shot highlight reel is getting fatter and fatter. I'm surprised he wasn't drafted by the Eagles, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe next year. They might need somebody there on that offensive line. We'll see what happens. But, not good for Joel Embiid right now. And the press conferences, the post-game press conferences, are not doing him any favors as well. So tough to see there. We're keeping it in the NBA. This is a more positive story. Anthony Edwards, the Ant-Man, is the closest thing we've seen to Michael Jordan since Kobe Bryant. Over or under reaction? Yeah.
Wow, Tate. You understand Michael Jordan came from Chapel Hill. I mean, there's going to be two guys going to take you out of the studio right now for that blasphemy.
And they just heard me. Yeah, I'm at the Carolina Inn. The doors are opening right now.
That's it. That's it. All right, I'm going to have to take over the show and throw to KOC in a couple minutes here. No, listen, this is great for the game. I love him. That big dunk on Sunday was a highlight for sure. Jordan, I'm not sure if you want to make the comparison. You know, Michael Jordan is a top 20 player of all time. So slow down a little with that.
Yeah, we're going to see if he can get into that territory. I do think we've seen things that are similar to Jordan, like Kawhi's hands, right? There's been attributes that we've seen. I feel like Ant-Man has the confidence of Michael Jordan, and I think that's what everybody's kind of pointing to. And obviously that dunk late sent a message to the Phoenix Suns and to the rest of the world that he is here, he is present. So shout out to Anthony Edwards. Next one's a fun one, Sal. We got some history to talk about in sports. The single city NBA and NHL title sweep will happen for the first time ever this year. We've had some times where it almost happened. Is that an over-under reaction? What say you? Will we see some history?
You know, I know you're looking at the Bruins and Celtics maybe as a favorite. Like, you can get almost 20-1, or the Avalanche and the Nuggets, you can get 22-23-1, depending on when you grab it. But, and I was going to say no, I hope not, because that means the Celtics will likely be the team. But, and the Bruins, I have money on both those teams. So I guess it's an emotional hedge. I have it individually. I didn't parlay them together. And, you know, of course it's going to be Boston. Of course it's going to happen. I think one of these years, one of the next two or three years, it's going to be the Bruins and the Celtics. I mean, they're selling Drake May jerseys for $100,000 from what right. I know. It could be Patriots too soon.
Yeah, it could be a lot of you know, Drake May fans out there that are very happy. But last time that we saw this, where both teams made the finals, New Jersey back in 2003, and the Avs won the Stanley Cup back in 2022, a couple years ago. Nuggets won last year, so maybe there's some value there if you believe in the Avalanche and you believe in Nikola Jokic. So maybe some value. Last one, Sal. Sal's minus 9.5 bet on all NBA playoff teams is the greatest bet in the history of sports betting. Over or under reaction? I think it might be an underreaction.
Underreaction.
What say you,
it's the greatest. I'm the best at this stuff. I mean, I wouldn't even say sports gambling history, like table games, anything you want to talk.
Gaming
about.
History.
Oh, yeah. Camel racing, whatever you
golf,
want.
I mean, yeah.
So here's what I do for people who don't know. I take both sides. I bet both NBA teams in the playoffs to win by more than 9.5 points. Now, I'm definitely going to lose one of them because it's impossible for both teams to win by 9.5. But I make up so much ground typically on the team that does win by 9.5. It pays for everything. And I've had some big wins. T-Wolves, was it Friday night, plus 540. The Heat in game two were 16-1. The the Lakers over Denver was like plus 350. Beautiful. Throw some paprika and lemon on that, and you got a winner, Tate. Big
That's tasty.
Winners.
Yeah, I love that. I love the units are moving for you, Sal, and I love that you're making history. We love to see
it's
it.
It's too
good
many
stuff.
Threes, Tate. You understand? This is not like even 5 years ago. The number of threes is going up. The number of threes taken, so you get a crazy variance, and the sports books haven't caught up to it, although I think I'm talking too much. Now they're going to catch up.
Yeah, I think they're going to come silence you now, so you're going to have some people bat down your doors. Let's go ahead and call the captain. Let's do our Riverboat question here, and this is a simple one, Sal. What is the most embarrassing moment in Philly sports history? We got some odds here. Knicks fans taking over a 76ers playoff game, 3-1 is the favorite. We got the Phillies no hit in the 2022 World Series, 5-1. Eagles fans famously throwing snowballs at Santa Claus, 7-1. Rocky KO'd by Clubber Lang, 25-1. The field even odds. Cousin Sal, what is the most embarrassing moment in Philly sports history?
It is embarrassing how Rocky just didn't train for that fight, that first fight, Tate. I don't know if they highlighted the fact that he didn't train. You're going to get killed out there. But I'm going to say it's a year of chalk. I'm going to take the favorite here. The Knicks fans taking over 76ers game. Honestly, it's disgraceful. And this is, by the way, 2 weeks ago, Allen Iverson, they unveiled that miniature statue of him. That was pretty embarrassing, too. But I honestly, if this game gets back to Philadelphia, if this series gets back, the owner better buy up all the secondary market tickets and give them out to Philly residents for free, because this was disgusting what we saw in New York going in. Kudos to the New York fans for taking the drive and taking over.
Yeah, cheaper tickets. I don't blame them going down there to Wells Fargo Center. It sounds like a smart, savvy move for the Knicks fans. And I will say I've had a lot of Philadelphia people in my life that said that the snowballs at Santa Claus never happened. They act like, you know, that this was all made up and that, you know, everything is,
that's what
you know, everybody's against
with, that.
Yeah, right. That's the one that they're mad about.
All right,
so,
we'll give you that. That's fine.
I think I'll take that at 7-1 because I just find that hilarious. Sal, I turn it over to you now. You're going to set some lines for us. What's going on in your world? What do
all
you
right,
see?
Tate. Yeah, now you answer my dumb question. Number of rookie quarterbacks starting in the playoffs next season, over under a half, 0.5. So if one makes it, you're good. I may have made this a little low, but I didn't want to make it one. So tell me, you going over?
I'm
going
to go over. I'm going to go over. I think we just saw C.J. Stroud do it, and I've heard a lot of people comparing Caleb Williams to you know, a lot of great players. So if he is one of the greats and he's going to be a franchise shifter and the best quarterback in Bears history, they're saying he already is. He hadn't played a game yet. I think he should make the playoffs in his first year, Sal.
Okay.
So I'm going to say at least Caleb Williams, at least one, so I'll take the over.
He's expected to be right there. Patriots know to make the playoffs is minus 1,800. Vikings know is minus 310. Broncos know is minus 950. Caleb Williams Bears is minus 114, so basically a coin flip. I think I screwed up that number. Yeah, it should be one. Okay, how about this, Tate? Over under 3.5 NBA coaches who are wise enough to foul went up three, less than 4 seconds left. What do you think?
I'm going to go under. I think there's probably two that do it. Maybe Spoelstra does it. I think I would give him the kudos there. He's able to do it. You know, yeah, I'm just going to take it. Maybe it might just be him. I'll just take one. So, yeah, I'll go under here.
What's wrong with her? I'm talking about more specifically and more recently Rick Carlisle with Indiana. Right. Like, not doing, like, what is, I don't get it. You have this ogre Lopez catching the ball. As soon as he receives it, his back is to the basket. Just hug him, right? What? I don't know. You can't You're not going to get a long shot with 1.2 left, and if you do, so be it. Anyway, I think you're right. I think it's
especially with these how these guys shoot now. I mean, you know what I mean? You almost have to expect if they get any sort of sliver, they're going to make the shot.
Right.
Especially
exactly.
If it's Chris Middleton. So
yeah, don't give them an open look. Again, it's about the threes. All right, Kimmel Comedy Club this Saturday. It's going to be me and Harry at the Kentucky Derby Special.
Can't
3
wait.
To 6, wristband for $25, all you can eat. Mint juleps, everything happening on this Saturday, Tate. Here is my prop for you. More Exacta bets made or mint juleps consumed by Harry during this event?
I'm going to say, unfortunately, I'm going to go with the mint juleps for Harry. I think he's going to be having a fun time there. It's great to see you guys back at the Comedy Club. And, yeah, there's going to be a lot of fun there with the Kentucky Derby going on. So I'm happy
for
you. I
want to see this. I think he can do both. I think he'll actually tear up all the losing tickets and put them in his mint julep. So I think you get your money back if you bet that and it happens.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. We're going to take a break, Sal, and okay. We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to talk about some of those Kentucky Derby bets,
of
those horses, some of the ones you like, and some line look-aheads. We'll be right back on the other side of the break on Through the Ringer.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We're still here with Cousin Sal, and it's time to do some line look-ahead. Sal, are you ready? Are you excited to talk some NBA?
Let's do it. I got a lot of player props to throw your way.
I'm excited. Let's talk about it. So let's start here with the 76ers. They're going to be in New York taking on the Knicks. Knicks -4.5 in this game. The total is 204. I know you got some player props as well, Sal, but what do you like in this one, and what do you see here?
First of all, I'm urging all Knicks fans to show up. Don't rest on your laurels here and then get swallowed up by 18,000 Sixers fans. Don't do that. And don't bet Brunson over 47 points, rebounds, assists a game. He's gone under this number, Tate, in 10 of the last 12 home games. He's only had a 38 in that span. I know you're betting against the best player on this team. That doesn't miss a shot, but the trend is there. You get even odds. Embiid also might bring a taser to this game and take him out, make sure Brunson doesn't go nuts again. So I'm going to go under. I think the Knicks close it out, but Brunson not as good as 47.5. Points, rebounds, assists.
Yeah, I like that. That's a savvy pick there, and I do think Brunson, he's kind of tried to find his footing a little bit in New York, but as he said, he only cares about winning. He doesn't care about the stats, so I like the under there, Sal. Next one, we got Pacers taking on the Bucks. Bucks +3.5 in this one. The total's at 216, and the Bucks are just completely injury, you know, hampered at this point, and it looks like it's the Pacers series, but what do you see here, Sal?
Well, Tate, before you leave town, go to your parents, borrow $3 million. I know they have it.
We'll go find it.
I don't know if this is irresponsible or what. Cut it out if it isn't. But bet the Pacers at -3,000 to win this series. You'll win $100,000. Then you could pay them back if you want. If not, take off with the money. I'll give you a real bet, though. Coming off back-to-back 29-point games, Miles Turner under 19.5. He's gone under 20 in 4 of his last 5 road games. Also, there's always potential for a blowout, Tate, so you might see like 3.5 quarters out of some of these guys, which doesn't help the overs on these player props. So give me under Miles Turner, 19.5 points.
And he just had 29 in the last game, so I think people are going to be high on him. So I like you trying to fade his good performance. That's a good call. Next one, Sal, the Orlando Magic. This is the NBA TV special series. I feel like they try to put that on NBA TV as much as they can. But we got the Orlando
special.
Magic. Yeah, right. At Cavaliers, -4.5, the total 201. What do you see in this one, Sal? What do you like?
Well, I don't even care if they televise it because the series has been good to me. My 9.5 has worked betting both teams minus 9.5 in every single game. So nobody wants to keep this close. One game Cleveland started their game 82 lineup. Like, I don't even know what's going on. So I don't want to watch. It's boring to watch. But, and it's going to be boring to watch the winner play the Celtics next week. I'm going to go Max Strus over 4.5 rebounds minus 113 in 5 straight games at home. He has hit this. I feel like we're due for a big Max Strus game, but I don't want to touch, aside from my 9.5s, I'm staying away from a winner. He averages 8 over that stretch in 5 games. So give me Strus over.
I love how much everyone, like, just because of how we know about prop bets more and, like, the common, you know, conversation that people know about Max Strus's rebound numbers and, you know what I mean, how many threes a guy might take in a game. It is just what a world that we live in, and I like great. That pick there with Strus. Next one's Dallas Mavericks taking the Clippers. Clippers plus 2.5, total 209.5. What do we expect to see from the Clippers in this one, and can they be, you know, who they were in game 4 there in Dallas?
I'll stay away from the player prop, although it is weird that Luka said, I feel like I'm letting Kyrie Irving down. Has Kyrie Irving heard that from anybody in the last decade that they're letting him down? So interesting ploy there. But I think Dallas is a better team. They just got off to a slow start in game 4. I like them given the couple points here. They're 18-6 against the spread in the last 24, 8-3 in the last 11. On the road. Clippers came out too hot, like I said, in game 4. 14 three-pointers before the popcorn was even ready. Give me Dallas in this one.
Yeah, it just feels like the Clippers are tinkering in a series where they need to be locked in, and yeah. I do think Dallas is more formidable at this point, so I like that pick. Let's track to the future, Sal. We're going to go from the NBA back to the NFL, something that I know you're going to be happy about, and we're going to start with looking at a prop for the please clap it up. We love to see it. Most regular season rookie passing yards, and we got the odds here. Caleb Williams, of course, number one pick is the favorite, plus 110. J.J. McCarthy, I think that's the headline there. It's the second favorite, plus 250. We got Jaden Daniels, plus 350. Bo Nix plus 800, Drake May plus 1,000, and then Michael Penix, your boy, Michael Penix Jr., plus 8,000. What say you, Sal? I mean, is it just simply Caleb Williams, or is there someone else that stands out to you?
Did you ever see that video of me and Michael Penix throws me a pass?
I don't think I've seen that. Yeah.
Listen, I don't know. Say Caleb Williams is, of course, the favorite. I don't know why he should be. The most passing yards doesn't necessarily mean that's the best player. That's the best player on the field or within the draft class. So I'm going to go Jaden Daniels at plus 350. Cliff Kingsbury is the OC of that team. You know he's pass happy, right? They're going to be playing from behind. They got a couple games against the Eagles and the Cowboys, so they're likely going to be down a few points. So, you know, let Daniels let it fly. And really, you know, no real reason Caleb Williams should be favored by that much considering all the schemes.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say some Drake May disrespect from the odds there, Sal.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm gonna have to bring that up with some people in Chapel Hill, maybe even with our boss, Bill Simmons. We'll see what the Boston Media Mafia can do because I don't like that number there.
I guess
you're
right.
Saying he
10
might
to 1
start.
Is too high for that. It's not Belichick running the ball 37 times a game. I think he could let it fly a little bit.
Yeah, come on. Next track to the future here. Which top rookie wide receiver will go over on total receiving yards? Marvin Harrison Jr., the line is 1,050.5. Rome Odunze, 675.5. Malik Nabers, 825.5. Is there anyone there that you would take the over, or, you know, based on those numbers, Sal?
Yeah, I typically go under on a lot of these.
I would go under, yeah, right.
But Odunze, maybe I just love this guy too much. And I already lost with Odunze. I gave out a pick under 8.5 that he'd go in the draft. I thought he'd be the second wide receiver taken. I think even sprinkled a little on him being the first wide receiver taken. But I'm still going to go, that's a pretty low number, 675.5. If you divide that by how many games do they play now? Like 33? Games in the regular season?
Yeah, that's what Goodell said he wanted. He said no preseason, but, you know, 40 games.
They might make that change before the
52
year.
52 weeks of football, Sal. Yeah.
Seems like nothing. No, it's actually 40 yards a game. So he gets behind defenders at 40 yards a game. You just need a couple 100-yard games and then, you know, stay flat the rest of the way and you're okay. So I'll go with Odunze over 675.5.
And it does feel like he is his quarterback's favorite already. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think that is good news as well. Last track to the future here, Sal. Who will win Defensive Rookie of the Year? We got the odds. Turner is the favorite, plus 450. Latu, plus 800. Verse, plus 1,000. Mitchell, plus 1,000. Who stands out to you here? And is there anyone that has some value that you see?
I think there's a lot of value with some of these guys. You know, I'll go with Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback from Toledo. The Eagles took him. They also took another cornerback. They got Cooper DeJean. But, you know, the Eagles are weird, right? They usually gobble up all these Georgia players, these rookies, and they don't quite win Rookie of the Year. So this could be their season. I have a good feeling about this kid. Runs a 4.33 40. Sauce Gardner won as a cornerback. Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Peters, all in the last decade. So a cornerback could do it. And I like 10-1 odds for Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah, and Mitchell, Nick Saban admitted that that was the first kid he tampered with out of Toledo. So Nick right. Saban said he saw some talent there. You see some talent as well, and you get some value there at plus 1,000. Last
Nick
one,
and I, Nick and I are right. almost always,
always
on the same
wavelength. No, you guys always talk, and you guys are yeah. always on the same page. Last one's out, Kentucky Derby winner. Like you said, you're going to be in Las Vegas with Harry. Mm-hmm. We got the odds in front of us. 5-2 is the favorite, Fierceness, to win the Kentucky Derby. There's also a 3-1 Sierra Leone. What say you, Sal? Do you have a favorite horse this weekend that you like for the Derby?
I think I'm the next one. You're about to read Forever Young. It's a Japanese horse going off at almost 10-1 odds. Never been beaten, Tate. This horse doesn't know what it's like to lose a race. Son of Real Steel. I'm sure you remember Real Steel.
Of course.
The Japan-bred horse there. Five races, five different tracks this horse has won. Three in Japan, one in Saudi Arabia, and one in United Arab Emirates. So, and the good news is Shohei Ohtani's interpreter already put $3 million on this horse.
That's
so
good.
In good shape. Yeah.
Moving the line, yeah. There's some wild names, as there always are. Society Man is out there, 50-1. Domestic Product at 30-1. West Saratoga at 50-1, Sal. Oh. So if you just want to take Encino, shout out to the Valley, they're 20-1. So yeah.
Yeah, Pauly Shore is riding that horse. That's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a good movie, I think, or something. I mean, maybe a nice little collab there with Encino and our Kentucky Derby horse races there, mm-hmm. or horses there. Last one, Sal, last thing before I let you go, the Tate Debate. This is a simple one. I think we've all just become numb to this, but I just wanted to point it out. LeBron has created the blueprint for modern stars when they actually lose in the playoffs. First, you blame an injury. Then you leak a report to Shams that you're unhappy with your offense. And then you say you're great regardless of what happens on the basketball court. Sometimes you say you don't even care about basketball or that it just is basketball. KD just put this into effect. He did the opposite of LeBron. He said he cares about it so much. It's his life. It's all he does. LeBron said it's just a hobby for him. But regardless, it's the same thing that they're doing after they lose in the playoffs. Are we just numb to this process? And what are your thoughts on LeBron creating the blueprint for how to lose in the playoffs?
I mean, this is why he's the greatest, right? He right. not only put us up the number, he creates a blueprint for how to complain about losing. I mean, no
right.
one.
Right, how it's not your
Michael
fault.
Jordan
right.
never did that. Yeah, he never had never lost, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
By the way, I think you're right. I think this is going to be something. Did you see how much Kevin Durant was hugging Ant Edwards after the game? Really? What a love fest. Don't be surprised if he's a Timberwolf next year and then complains and goes back to Brooklyn or something like that. I don't know what he'll end up doing.
Yeah, right. Dallas. I mean, the Lakers now, they're saying he might want to go play with LeBron in
LA.
There's
a lot of teams. People don't realize there's a lot of teams until you wear a jersey from that team.
Yeah, right. And maybe he's just going to play for every team. that could be the new motto as well. Maybe he creates his own blueprint.
Sal, you're the best. Yeah,
there you go. Sal, where can we find all your work? And then we'll let you go enjoy your Tuesday.
Against All Odds, twice a week on the Ringer Podcast Network. There's this show, which you already watched. And yes, catch me on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend Friday morning on FanDuel TV.
Yeah, you got great guests there on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Go check it out. Appreciate you as always, Sal. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, buddy. Get home safe.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Welcome to The Mismatch. I'm Chris Vernon, and joining me as he does every Monday night from TheRinger.com is Kevin O'Connor, a.k.a. Kevin O'Bomber, Kevin O'Concert, Kevin O'Camera, Kevin O'Conflict, Kevin O'Climber, Kevin O'Candyland, Kevin
Vernon! How are you doing tonight, man? What's going on?
Well, we just got done watching the Denver Nuggets send the Los Angeles Lakers to Cancun or Galveston or wherever they are going to head. 108-106. Denver is victorious in a game five. They win the series 4-1 and a second Jamal Murray game-winning shot sends them to the next round. Wow. It is a lot to think about, but I think number one on the list is this was an amazing basketball game.
Back and forth down the final stretch. Big shot after big shot. Offensive boards by Denver. Big plays all around. It was an awesome game. Front to back. It was amazing. I had a sensational time. I was kind of rooting for game six, to be honest with you, Chris, because I was having so much fun watching these two teams.
Guys getting hurt. You know, KCP goes out in that first half, and then he's able to come back. Now, obviously, of all of the injuries that took place during this game, the Anthony Davis one is significant. I'm not sure what happened to his shoulder and neck area when he got nudged by Porter Jr., but he went down hard, and they were working on him on that bench the entire time. And this was enormous because he was great in the game once again. You know, their best offensive option, in my opinion, and he wasn't able to go. He clearly wasn't able to go. I mean, he was basically a decoy the rest of the time. He did his best on defense, but he's basically a decoy the rest of the time on offense.
Yeah, AD definitely was not the same guy before and after that injury, and it felt like that was kind of the moment or one of the moments in the third quarter when the game changed for the Lakers. And, you know, for AD, he's been sensational all season long. He's been tremendous on defense, a defensive player of the year candidate, dominant on offense, consistent as a second guy behind LeBron James, and he's carried over into the postseason. This looks like peak AD, and it sucks that in, you know, the elimination game, he goes down with that kind of weird injury stinger or whatever it might have been, because it didn't feel like he was quite the same down the stretch of that game. And with that said, though, you know, during that whole run in the third quarter, Lakers fans screaming at their TVs for Darvin Ham to call a timeout, which has been a trend with him all season long as well. And it seems like it's just more of the same in some ways. It's AD, you know, coming up with an injury late. It's Ham not without a feel for timeouts and decision-making in games. And ultimately, all that plays into the Lakers just losing again to Denver.
Well, I will say this, in Darvin Ham's defense, players, or coaches rather, want their players to play through that stuff. They're hoping they can play through it rather than having to stop the bleeding and take a timeout. And why? Because the game may come down to a last shot of the game, and you might want a timeout in your back pocket when it matters most. And there they were. So he finally did take a timeout to try to stop the bleeding. But these guys always want to be able to keep their timeouts if they can, because they never know when they're going to need them. And there it was. It showed up at the end of the game. Murray hits that clutch shot. That is the perfect opportunity. I mean, there's a ton of time, too.
3.6 seconds.
You can get an unbelievable look if you get to inbound that thing at half court. Look, that Denver team, you feel like, especially in fourth quarters, you just have to play downright perfect is how they make it feel down the stretch of these games. Like, you have to score almost every possession because they are going to get to something that they want to get to. And obviously Murray with those last five. And let me tell you something, critical Aaron Gordon offensive rebound.
Oh my God. He just slithered his way in there for those. He read the trajectory of the ball the hustle and the Lakers not getting a good body on him to hold him off either. They're so focused on Jokic, who, I mean, obviously he had one as well. He had 20 rebounds on the night, one big offensive rebound late in the game for a putback. They're so focused on him with two bodies. That's what allowed Aaron Gordon to sneak in there for those. And yeah, I mean, just big plays all around from the entire Nuggets supporting cast. And Jamal Murray doing this on, you know, one bad leg. He's limping around in that game. He's grinning. He's clearly not 100% the way he's moving, but still hitting massive shots down the stretch of the game. Just an unbelievable performance by all of those guys collectively, again, as they always seem to have.
Yeah, and obviously this playoff Murray thing, which he does not like people calling him playoff Murray, but that's exactly what he is. You know, we talk about this every season, and typically it was Jimmy Butler for so many years of us doing the podcast, but the difference between where you would draft a guy for the regular season and draft a guy for the playoffs is the greatest gulf is probably still Jimmy Butler, but Jamal Murray has certainly put his name at the very, very top of that list. In fact, he might be number one now. Like, the difference between the player that you get on an every night basis throughout the 82 games. I mean, it's crazy that anybody that just pays attention to NBA basketball during the playoffs, Kevin, I can't fathom them watching this guy and be like, that guy's never been an all-star. You know, he's never made an all-star team, and yet he is one of the best players in the postseason year after year. Just unbelievable, unbelievable performance. And so I guess the questions are immediately going to go to, where do they go from here?
Well, I mean, you need a new head coach, first of all. That's number one. Number two,
I think Frank Vogel's going to be available.
It does seem like he will be.
A reunion?
That's number one. You do need to find a new head coach. Number two, I do think it's worth looking in the mirror and asking yourself, how close are we with a new coach and with a trade for a star? Because with the Lakers, you're always going to draw interest from superstars. Like, if you don't go all in on AD and LeBron, you're still going to draw interest in 5 years from the next star who's available. If you do go all in now and you don't have a lot of future picks, you're still going to draw interest from that future star. It's just a matter of how you want to build this thing out now versus weighing your future. And for them, I think that also depends on who's available. If it's just Trae Young, I'm not sure he's worth what it's going to take from Atlanta as an upgrade over D'Lo. If it's DeJounte Murray over at a cheaper price, maybe. If it's Donovan Mitchell from Cleveland, maybe. But they do need to find a D'Lo upgrade, because we saw the upside of D'Lo and the downside of D'Lo. You need someone who can tap into that upside of D'Lo far more often than you get from D'Lo himself. So finding that guard who can do that, finding a new head coach, and just simply, you know, a better Taurean Prince, somebody better from that forward spot. To me, those are the three priorities for the Lakers entering this offseason, assuming they want to continue moving forward with LeBron and AD, and that LeBron also wants to continue moving forward with them.
The big question is this. It's 3 out of 4 years in the play-in. They, you know, they've played the what we think is the eventual champion twice. They're what, 1-13 now, I think, or 1-12 against this team.
1-12, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So 1-12 against this team. The question is it coach and supporting cast, and then we just build out still around LeBron and AD?
Well, and that's the concern there, is because LeBron will be 40, and will AD ever be as healthy and as dominant as he was this year, or is this the peak? Is this peak value AD, and then now he goes back to getting hurt every year like he did prior? And that's the concern, where if you do build it out with this, a team that has fallen short, that has been in the play-in, that has gotten pummeled by Denver, when, you know, Minnesota could get better. What if Anthony Edwards continues improving? The Spurs eventually are going to come. The Oklahoma City Thunder are going to get even better, you would think, on paper. The Lakers, it's possible the window is shut here. And that's what the front office and the Buss family need to evaluate this summer. How much do the Lakers want to go all in around LeBron James and Anthony Davis? It's both sides. It's not just does LeBron want to return to the Lakers, which it seems that's his preference, but it's also do the Lakers want to resume building with him? Those are the questions the Lakers need to ask themselves this summer, because right now they could, and if they wanted to, they could get a haul for an Anthony Davis after the way he performed this season. They could decide to go in that kind of retooling route with kind of like a good, young, you know, fun team that has promise, and then build it out that way for the next star. They could take that path if they want to, and their choices have indicated that they're at least leaving that door open by not making all-in moves, by not trading first-round picks for role players like past LeBron teams did, the Cleveland teams, the Miami teams, and the Lakers in the early years. Clearly, they're leaving that door open for that possibility. So I think both sides here need to evaluate if they want to continue their marriage together, and that's going to be one of the questions that define this entire offseason of many big ones that are coming.
We're going to take a quick break. You're watching The Mismatch on FanDuel TV.
Jedi are being murdered. On June 4th, Star Wars returns, only on Disney Plus.
I didn't do it! Believe me!
She was my student. Let me be the one to bring her in.
Now she is a student of the dark side. An acolyte.
Star Wars: The Acolyte. 2-episode premiere June 4th, only on Disney Plus.
All right, Kevin, we just talked about the Lakers getting sent into their offseason. Another team that has already been sent into their offseason is the Phoenix Suns, who loaded up with all kinds of star power for this season, only to not win a playoff game. They got absolutely waxed by the Minnesota Timberwolves and Anthony Edwards, who scored 31 of his 40 points in the second half, put away the star-studded Phoenix Suns. And so now Minnesota is going to head on and play the aforementioned Denver Nuggets.
The Conley Bowl, the Tim Conley Bowl. Built the Nuggets, built the Timberwolves. How cool is that?
Yep. And now Phoenix is going to go play golf or play in the sand or do whatever. And
play Call of Duty, man, Booker, oh man. And Durant.
I mean, it's a great lesson in that sometimes we can be deceived by what took place during the regular season. They looked absolutely devastating, and especially devastating against Minnesota during the regular season. And that was absolute fool's gold, because by the time they got to the playoffs, Minnesota was too defensively aware, too big, too strong, too much, and the best perimeter player in a series that included Kevin Durant and Devin Booker was on that Timberwolves team in Anthony Edwards, which the whole world has been saying, we are watching a star turn into a superstar before our eyes. And my God, what a series for Edwards, and what the hell happened with Phoenix? How do we diagnose
that? Let's talk about Edwards real quick, though, before we get to Phoenix. That meme of his split face with Michael Jordan in his own face is starting to feel more and more and more real. Like that evisceration in the second half was Kobe-esque, MJ-esque, the way in which he just dismantled the Suns, because it wasn't just the scoring, the pull-up threes, the turnaround mid-range jumpers, the big dunk that he had, you just sent them away. It wasn't just the block shots that he had on Booker. It's, again, the playmaking, the decision-making. He had a pass in that fourth quarter where he drove right baseline, drew the gaze of like three defenders, and kind of just sidestepped past Kevin Durant and wrapped the pass around him to Mike Conley for an open corner three. It's just, he's advanced in so many different ways that he really is starting to make you believe that he can become the face of the league as the best American-born player in basketball under 30 years old right now, but also that he could be really on an all-time trajectory. He's only 22 years old, and the way he's improved every year kind of follows a rapid but realistic and steady upward trajectory. I'm a believer in Ant-Man, and I'm a believer in the Wolves, and with Jamal Murray looking...
Wait, don't go out on too big of a limb. Well, you're a believer in Anthony Edwards?
Well, I'm just saying, what I'm saying is I'm a believer in Minnesota to beat Denver. They can do it. Oh. This series will go seven, and it's because of Anthony Edwards' progress that has lifted a dominant defense and has made them a high-powered offense in the postseason. The dude has taken a real leap. And I think it's a good time to evaluate who this guy really is and what it means for Minnesota moving forward, because it all seems real to me. It's not the first postseason. He's been dominant, and he's looking even better, though, because he gets better every year.
We are going to have to find out, because obviously they won a game against Denver last year. And so this will be a great barometer, watching them play against them this year. Let's slow down a little bit. Because we may turn around and just realize that Phoenix team was not going to beat anybody.
And it's very possible.
They were a mess. They were a mess. And then they lost Grayson Allen, which should not be as big a deal as it is. But I thought that it was a great dichotomy between these two teams, right? You had the star that took over games, obviously. That was not something that Phoenix had. But more importantly, you had continuity, them truly knowing each other on offense and defense. You had continuity, which cannot be understated or overstated, and you also had depth. It's the complete opposite of Phoenix. They have no continuity and no depth. And then you see it all fall apart the day after. You got the stories coming out about Frank Vogel.
Not even the day after. I don't even think they were in the locker room by the time Shams dropped that story. It was immediate.
And now, I don't know if you saw the Chris Haynes thing about how there was a bickering between Vogel and the Suns because he wanted a point guard.
Yes.
It's like, hey, can you, like, let's just get that out there. That part of the level of discontent is because I wanted a point guard the whole time, because every good team since, I don't know, the last 75 years of NBA history has had a point guard, and I thought it would be better to settle us down and get into the offense. We stunk in fourth quarters all year long. And, you know, their idea of how they wanted to do basketball was to, you know, not have the ball out of the hands of Devin Booker or Kevin Durant, and that's what having a point guard would do. And it was just – so you got people saying Frank Vogel's goofy. You got Frank Vogel saying the front office is goofy. And you've got, who knows, saying Matt Ishbia's goofy. It's crazy. It speaks to – They played like a dysfunctional team, and now they act like a dysfunctional team after they get ousted.
It's a complete and utter disaster what's happened in Phoenix, and it's really sad. As somebody who, you know, once dubbed them the Bright Future Suns and has loved Suns fans for a long time and have those feel-good vibes of a team that made it to the finals with Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and DA, and now it's all completely fallen apart, and it's miserable, and it's not fun to watch. And you feel like you have no hope because you don't have the rights to any of your draft picks until 2031. You don't have any young players with talent or value around the league. You have an old whiny star who's not a leader in Kevin Durant. Bradley Beal, who's making jokes the day after. And good on him for making jokes after saying they won't get swept. But boy, you are terrible in that game four. Oh. And then Devin Booker, who is your bright spot on your roster. He is. But other than that, this has been a complete disaster since Ishbia took over. And there's not many outs, man. It's scary to think about what they're going to be and what they could look like as soon as next year.
Booker put up a fight in game four. He was a dud in the first three.
He was.
And here's the deal. Kevin Durant, you know, ran out Steve Nash, ran out Jacques Vaughn, ran out Kenny Atkinson, ran out Monty Williams. Like, this is going to be a bunch of coaches now that are the Kevin Durant coaches. And if they get rid of Frank Vogel, I mean, that's going to be the seventh coach Devin Booker has had. Seven coaches, Kevin. It's unheard of. And so they are, you know, there's the new owner syndrome. He knew what he was doing. He's smarter than everybody. And there's no other way to look at it than a team in the second apron that spent a fortune on them, on that team. And like you said, where do you go from here? You feel like, you know, we'll probably see Kevin Durant on another team next year. That feels like the way out.
Wouldn't shock anybody, would it?
No, you're going to want to hold on to a huge star in their prime like Booker, and good luck finding a landing place for Beal. So that's it. I mean, there's no other guy to, unless you want to just try to run it back with a different coach. Maybe Vogel and Darvin Ham could just switch spots and just be, and they can both be coaches of aging superstars who are not good enough to be the best player on title teams, though everybody wants to hold on to it and say, it's still real to me, damn it. And then you they're still good enough that you get fired for them losing. And so another one bites the dust for LeBron James, and another one will bite the dust for Kevin Durant. I think that's probably what's going to happen. But, man, oh, man, was that gross. And Minnesota, they have certainly gotten my attention, and I'm much more. I don't think that they will beat Denver, but I certainly think they have a chance.
It's going to be an absolute battle. I can't wait.
Oh, that series is going to be absolutely unbelievable. We'll be back after this.